You're listening to KRUU 100.1 FM and KRUUFM.com. It's the Midwest's first and only solar-powered radio station. My name is Bruce Miller, and this is the Writer's Voices show. Now, I'm very familiar with Writer's Voices because it ends right after my show with Chris Bush, the Filmosopher show. Writer's Voices comes on at 1 o'clock on Friday, and you can hear it again Monday mornings at 8 o'clock and anytime online. But I get to know, obviously, leaving the station, that these wonderful shows that Monica Hadley and her mom, Caroline Kilborn, do on Writer's Voices. And sometime after, it was my guest here, John and Coralie Day, who turned me on to Oneness in 2008. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
We're excited to be here with you today.
Thank you, Bruce.
Well, and if I'm going to be authentic, I've been very excited about this interview. So I got turned on to it back in 2008. I can remember Coralie coming over and giving a diksha very clearly. It felt like your hands were still on my head after you left for a long time. Shortly after 2012, Julia Desmond comes out with her wonderful book, and it's called Writings from the One, 108 Insights from the Divine. So I said, Monica, I'm excited about this. Would you be willing to interview Julia Desmond and let me join you? And so that happened. It's wonderful. And I learned about this book, your book, Paula, when I was at a sacred chambers at John and Coralie's house. And the name of the book is The Oneness Blessing, How Diksha Can Help You Become Your Authentic Self, Heal Your Relationships, and Transform the World. I said, we're going to interview. It's going to be great. You know, it's an easy way to help spread the knowledge. It's something that you're naturally driven to do, which you will talk about, Paula, what's happened in your life. And so Monica says, okay, why don't you do this independent of me? Because she's on the road so much. I said, far out. Then I get to invite Coralie and John or somebody, you know, to do the interview with me. We'll all sit here and have joyful satsang and hopefully inspire folks about this book, Paula, and maybe, you know, do some good here. And, Paul, I want to read your bio real brief before we bring you in. Paula Rosenfeld, Awakened Certified Oneness Trainer, is passionately dedicated to helping people become happy, healthy, and fulfilled. She launched her private practice from the Heart Center in 1992. Her vibrational toolkit includes ancient shamanic healing techniques, energy balancing, intuitive consultations, coaching, teaching oneness courses, and inspiring people through the written word, which this book is a great manifestation of how that happened for you, Paula. As a practitioner of the shamanic methods of soul retrieval and extraction since 1994, Paula has assisted over 1,000 people and animals in recovering from trauma and connecting to the what is sacred to them. Additionally, she leads shamanic journey circles that support direct experiences of healing and guidance through individual communion with spiritual guides. Paula's awakening in 2013 at Oneness University in India ignited an even deeper desire to assist in the transformation of world consciousness, and that's what we're talking about. As a certified oneness trainer, Paula initiates people to become Diksha givers, giving them an opportunity to rapidly grow in awareness and happiness, and to help others grow as well. Again, The Oneness Blessing, Paula Rosenfeld, How Diksha Can Help You Become Your Authentic Self, Heal Your Relationships, and Transform the World. Paula, thanks for being patient with that long intro, and welcome.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know what? Probably the first question to ask you is, what is a oneness blessing, or Diksha, as it's sometimes called? I mean,
yes.
That's obviously, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the oneness blessing is a transmission of energy, sacred energy, that moves through the hands of an initiated blessing giver and, who have their hands on the head of the person receiving it. So this oneness blessing is also known as Diksha. Excuse me, of course I have a frog in my throat here, but the Diksha transmission has been handed down for over 800 years. It comes from India, and in historical times it was handed down from masters to disciples who had studied with them for perhaps, 40 years, and then would receive one Diksha. So it's a huge blessing and rare phenomenon that this Diksha is now available to everyone all around the world.
And it used to be, this is Coralie here with a frog in her throat, and it used to be that to become a blessing giver, you needed to go to India for 3 weeks, which I did in 2007, and then John did in 2008. And then shortly thereafter, people are able to be trained in a weekend here in your community, any community in the country or in the world, really, to become a blessing giver. So it's made it much more available to everybody in the world.
My comment to this point is that this is the first time in 800 years at least where the benediction that was primarily just reserved for selected disciples of some great saint or master in India and not available to any part of the world except in those places where a particular disciple would receive this benediction and receive their awakening and the rapid increases in consciousness that comes from it. This is the first time that this has been available to literally everyone, and where the training to do that is no longer the purview of some great enlightened master, but simply available through people who've received this initiation, this training. It's a huge boon for mankind, and it means that spiritual awakening is accessible now to everyone.
And Paula, your book is so timely because we haven't had a really perfect description in print like this. So I love your book. It's very simple, and the way you connect people's direct experiences with the teachings is just, it couldn't be more amazing. So thank you so much for taking the time in your life to create and write this beautiful book.
Thanks for those kind words, Coralie, and it's truly been an honor to write the book, and also it required huge growth on my part, so it was a personally transformational experience for me.
I believe it, because when I was reading it last night, and you feel a transformation just reading the words. It's quite amazing, you know?
Yeah, it's a transformational story.
It is. I interviewed about 20 oneness trainers who are very awakened people who've been studying, most of them been studying this for years. And so their words, their energy comes through the quotations I used. And I tried very hard to quote them word for word so that I could, you know, preserve what they said in the most accurate way, because I was aware as we talked that there was a huge amount of energy coming through our discussions. So that's, you know, and the book, to be honest, the book sort of wrote itself quite serious about that. I felt it was, a very big sort of download from a higher source than my mind, obviously. It was just beautifully presented, and my job was to take it all down, tie it together, and really help it serve the readers.
You did.
I feel very grateful.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great story. I mean, you could see that coming, Paula. You know, once the blogger just quit, you have always been attracted to writing, but you didn't feel like it's something you could do. Finally, when enough of the knots get out of the way, and that's what I'm saying, our audience understands these knots, which the Oneness Movement calls charges, that have to be released. They have to often be experienced. We can talk about staying with the what is. But once enough of those got out of your way, you're going to do this. You're going to write this because you're supposed to. And it's really interesting how we stay ordinary people, even though we're talking about extraordinary things. I went to Cedar Rapids and picked up John and Coralie after Coralie became awakened at Oneness University. I said, Coralie, what's it like being awakened? And I'm expecting some real ethereal type of answer. She said, well, I'm a lot busier. You can relate to that, Paula. I said, well, you know, we can start at 11 o'clock or 11:05. You said, uh-uh. I got 10 people waiting in line. We got to do this. And I recognize that from Jenna Coralee. It's like, go, 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 right?
Yeah. Our lives are nonstop. I mean, it's like every hour we've got planned.
I totally relate to that. I've never been this busy.
Yeah. John and I are also, we can talk about this later, but the Sacred Chamber facilitators. And so we just drove to Louisville, Kentucky, and we left at 4:45 on Wednesday morning, drove 9 hours, did Sacred Chambers that Wednesday afternoon, and then again two sessions on Thursday, and then one session Friday morning, got in the car at 2:30 and got home at 10:30 or 11 on Friday evening. And we had about 45 people go through the Sacred Chamber process in Louisville. And we could have stayed for another at least 3 days to take care of all the people who didn't get a chance to come through the chamber process. So it was so amazing.
Yes, it was great.
So, Paula, talk about why is the oneness blessing called a global phenomenon? This is one of the keys to this interview for me, is for folks to know this is a phenomenon. They're careful to say this is not a movement.
Right. It's not a movement. It's not a path. It's a global phenomenon because it has attracted people from all over the world, China, Japan, other areas in the Far East, Russia, Europe, South America, and North America, to Oneness University in India, which is a pretty remarkable thing. And these people who visited Oneness University have brought the transmission to others, as Coralie talked about in the beginning of the interview. And now people are initiated in their home countries. And it's spreading like wildfire. It's really quite amazing.
It really is.
It's amount of time too.
It's so amazing to be in India at Oneness University and to have, 50 different countries represented in any one course, and have, 15 translators going on and Chinese going on instantaneously translation. It's the Americans are in a minority. You know, it's just so wonderful to be part of this global phenomenon.
Paula, you want to talk about your experience?
I really love.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that one of the things I really love about this is that it doesn't require anyone to conform to any rules, to change their beliefs. If anything, it supports people in being on their own unique, authentic path. So if you are a Christian, you might become even more Christian. If you're a Buddhist, more Buddhist. But you can be an atheist, an agnostic. Everything is perfect if that's, you know, if that is each individual's path.
That's
a pretty rare phenomenon.
I was going to comment that you couldn't be more right on. My very first journey to Oneness University was when I had to go, like Corey suggested, for 21 days to become a blessing giver in those days. And my roommate in a dorm-style room there was a Catholic priest from South Africa. And he'd been with the priesthood his entire adult life. He'd been there. He was in his early 60s and had been a priest since he was 18. And he was coming there to become a Oneness blessing giver because he had had an experience that he could only explain as his awakening, meaning that he became aware of a part of him that he considered to be divine, to be his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when he realized that and had read some information about oneness, he wanted to experience that when he did, he wanted to be able to give it to his congregation in South Africa. And the beauty about that was that here was a man who'd spent his entire life in disseminating, you know, Christianity to people in that part of the world, and was drawn to Oneness because he felt it was universal, it was free, he could give it without cost. There was no dogma associated with it. His background was perfectly conducive to it. And the other comment I was going to make is one of the dear people that we've met in India is actually a Buddhist priest. He runs a temple in, I believe, Nepal or something. I keep forgetting what country it's from. But he's a marvelous human being. He doesn't speak much English. Got this big, wide grin on his face, very large, barrel-chested man who would just as soon hug you as talk to you. And he's a Buddhist priest, and he gives the Oneness blessing to his own congregation in his own church for the simple reason that he believes it's essential for a tool for him to be able to connect his people to the Buddha. So, you know, I just wanted to give you those two little anecdotes to provide some examples of exactly what you're talking about. Thank you so much, Paula.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Paula, would you like to talk about your experience at Oneness University, which will bring in Julia Desmonds again, because I didn't really clarify that. People are wondering what the heck that was about. Talk about that, and then how this book, as you wrote, The Unexpected Opportunity to Write the Oneness Blessing. You know, tell us the inspiration here.
Well, I had been a practitioner of the healing arts for about 20 years when I discovered the Oneness Blessing, and it was a profound understanding on my part that this was different than the other energy work I did, the other experiences that I had. Because I think as Sri Bhagwan, the founder, or one of the co-founders, along with his wife, Amma, says it's a shortcut. So it quickens your transformation, your awakening experience. So I very, in a fairly short time, decided to go to Oneness University. And so this was somewhere around 2012. And there was much talk at that time that there was going to be a major shift into awakening, that we were going to reach a worldwide shift due to about 70,000 people would become awakened, and then we'd go into this major shift. This coincided with what's considered the end of the Mayan calendar, and there are many other predictions that were made, and long-time predictions that the world would be changing in 2012. So I shortly thereafter, for me it was January 2013, I went off to India, and I felt that I was not awake, even after all those years of practicing very intense spiritual arts and meditation. I was born a very spiritual person, but yet this sense of union with what was sacred to me kept eluding me. It kept escaping me. And I felt like the shamanic guides that I worked with to help other people were good for helping other people, but they couldn't help me. So that was a pretty sad state of affairs, really. And I was very anxious to see how much further I could go to achieve the happiness I'd been seeking for so long. So I went to Oneness University, and what I discovered was there has to be some sort of major surrender of concepts in order to cross that bridge into the neurophysiological change that is actually awakening. And this, you know, this is part of what oneness teaches, that awakening is an actual shift in the physiology of the brain, where the parietal lobes are subdued. The parietal lobes are those parts of the brain connected to the fight-or-flight mechanism. And so they're subdued, and the frontal lobe is activated. And the frontal lobe is that part of the brain that deals with our perceptions of unity, of oneness, of a different consciousness that allows us to see that there is one sacred source, one essence that imbues all of life. So while I knew the concept really strongly, I knew it as a concept, I could not cross that bridge into the experience of it fully in a permanent way until I had awakened. And I did go, I took a course, at the time it was called the 4-week deepening course, and I took it and I experienced certain things that really did lead me into a much deeper surrender than I'd ever been able to do before. And I think the experience for me became very physical. It is for some people. Other people, it's not. It might be so gradual that you wouldn't even notice it. But because I was at Oneness University, where the vibration is incredibly high, so, you know, we're lifted there in a way that's very unique and very powerful. And so my brain underwent a neurobiological shift. And for me, it was experienced as a tremendous headache. I talk about in the book, I share the experiences of other trainers who had shifts that they talk about in the book. Everyone's actual shift is going to be different. For me, I had a terrible, terrible headache. Never had headaches of anything like that before. I'm not prone to headaches. So I knew something very unusual had happened. And I was in such pain that I prayed to my personal divine, to what's sacred to me, for relief. I was quite scared. And I got extremely clear guidance to get out of bed, walk out the door of the dorm I was staying in, and there I would find a blessing giver and ask that person for healing diksha. You know, just to intend that the oneness blessing that would be transmitted to me would help me. So I did that. I walked out the door, and just, you know, a few steps away from me stood, or I guess she was walking by, Julia Desmond, who was on campus. She had just actually become a oneness meditator, which is another aspect of the phenomenon that we could talk about if you'd like. But it's another source of transmitting a very sacred energy that comes through someone's eyes who's been initiated. And Julia had been initiated. Julia's a blessing giver and a trainer. And she gave me diksha, and the headache completely disappeared immediately. At that point, all the inner conflict I had been going through, all the fear, because I had really been struggling since I arrived on campus, that really, I just surrendered, and I felt tremendous peace, and really enjoyed my last week or two in this new state. And that was my awakening experience. The awakening is actually just the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey that goes on indefinitely. The journey that might lead for some of us in this lifetime to enlightenment.
You're listening to KRUULP, excuse me, 100.1 FM. This is the Writer's Voices Show, and this is Bruce Miller along with John and Coralie Day. We're sitting in for Monica Hadley and her dear mom, Caroline Kilborn, and we're talking with Paula Rosenfeld about her new book, The Oneness Blessing, how Diksha can help you become your authentic self, heal your relationships, and transform the world. And Paula, we talked about people resonating with your path. People understand the transition. It's called in the TM movement. It's called phase transition. It really gets darker before the dawn. We talked about it earlier about these knots that have to come out, and it can become far more intense than what we ever expected. But if we stay with the what is, anything, no matter how negative it is, transforms into something wonderful. And you went through this powerful headache. You also had great physical pain that you were healed from, amazing physical pain that you were healed from. Let's go to when you got back from OU. How did the book begin to materialize?
Well, the book took a while to materialize. Actually, as soon as I got back from Oneness University, a lot of charges were coming up for me. And I spent then a year just sort of acclimating to this new state of awakening and staying with the what is. You know, I talk about all of that in the book. But the bottom line is it took me another year to go back to Oneness University and become a trainer, because it became very clear to me that I love this phenomenon, and I wanted to share it in a bigger way. So I stepped into a new purpose, became a trainer, and it was, I'd say, within a month of returning from being a trainer the following year that one of my friends, who's also a trainer and interviewed in the book, Biana Mafasheva. I'm sorry. I always have trouble with her last name. She'd kill me if she heard me stumbling over it. But Mafasheva. She had met one of the owners of the publishing company, and at a completely unrelated training in another state. And actually the publisher is a blessing giver herself, and she recognized the need for a book, a current book about the oneness blessing. She knew there hadn't been one for about 7 years, and that was during very early years, actually, of the oneness phenomenon becoming circulated. So Biana knew that I could write. I had been writing a blog. I wrote articles. And Biana introduced the publisher to me. So then, you know, I stepped up. You know, it had to find me. It was not something that was even in my conscious awareness at the time. But that's how it came to be. I had always longed to be an author of a book. I did not have, I didn't have the confidence or the inspiration or the clarity to write a book, well, to persevere. I had written a book and with a friend, and the manuscript is still laying around in my home. But that book, I think, and this happens maybe to many writers, sometimes your first book is not the book that's going to end up getting published. That book, we tried to market that book, maybe written 10 or 15 years ago didn't take root. But this book was meant to be. This book found me. So that's my story.
I was going to comment on your beautiful description of your awakening process, because I think that's really salient for our community. There are people that have spent literally 30, 40, sometimes longer years meditating, using the Transcendental Meditation Technique, a brilliant technique for the evolution of consciousness in this community. And they're from all over the world. And I know these many of these people. I used to own a part of a business here in town and saw most of them, oftentimes several times a day. They're all wonderful people. And why I'm so excited for this book for their behalf, because like you alluded to before, in India, people call Sri Amma Bhagwan Shortcut Bhagwan. And they do it because a process which heretofore took actually many lifetimes, not just decades, to fulfill itself, now is available to people almost immediately, where the acceleration of consciousness, this awakening process, which you so astutely said is just the start, it's not the end, of something incredibly beautiful. That people now have the promise, the certainty, that all their years of meditation and their commitment to spirituality and the evolution of themselves and the pursuit of happiness, which is really the basis for most people's desire to get involved in spirituality in some form, they now have at their fingertips for free. It doesn't cost anything. A technology which is proven to what? How many people? I mean, several hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people now on the planet are awakened and enjoying the benefits of their continued awakening. So thank you for bringing that up. It's a really beautiful point for this community, for people now finally, after spending most of their life meditating and maybe, as you, realizing that there was something else there that was missing that hadn't come to fore. So thanks for that.
Sure. My pleasure. Yeah, in oneness, it said, you know, awakening is a benediction. It's a gift. It's a blessing. And you can't make it happen with your will. And I, too, had meditated for years and years. But that's the shortcut.
And again, again, Paula, we talk about the fact that this is from India, and of course, Amma Bhagwan, the incarnated divine that brought this out, are very powerful, and if you become involved, you'll see photographs of them. People think that have been on a particular path that involved a master or someone from India, that if you're going to do something else from India, that includes another master, and this is not the case. With this, the only master that the oneness movement wants you to have is your own personal divine. And, you know, I love that. I love what you talked about, how the book was written. I wanted to read one of my favorite couple of sentences in your book about that. You know, you're talking about the details of this person that owns the publishing company and contacts you, and I'm going, well, I'm thinking of Einstein when he goes, I want to know the thoughts of God. All the rest are just details. And you're giving details relative to these great sentences you wrote in the book. You wrote, the infinitely creative power of consciousness is the truth of reality. From the consciousness of reality, rather than from the conditioning of limitation, unfolds all that you need. And we know that from Capture the Fart, you get all the gold mines. That's what I'm saying. People will resonate with this. Just understand that you're not being asked to bring any divine into this, but your own personal divine. And this all makes perfect sense when we realize that we're operating from the state of there's only one of us. Everybody knows there's only one of us. So no matter what divine you pick out, there's only one of us here. So it could be your grandmother. It could be Maharishi. It can be Mother Teresa. It can be whatever you want. That's a great thing. And I wrote down, that's the total transparency of truth, is the way I wrote it. Complete truth. There's no limitation there. air is totally transparent. It's so pervasive. Truth is pervasive. When you start putting limitations on it, it gets a little denser and a little denser, and so it's not so clear anymore. This is totally transparent truth. John and Cora Lee Day, they are oneness facilitators here. You can take the sacred chambers. Not only is it free, they're not even allowed to accept donations. That alone tells you something right there about the motivation. Okay, Paula, that's enough for me. We're interviewing you, Paula. What do you think?
Absolute. I couldn't. Yeah. No basin. It's. I know for me, you know, it never came from my ego. Thank God, because I don't know what, you know, how that would. I just don't think it would happen at this point to that extent to have written that book. However, one does need conditioning. You know, you don't lose your conditioning, but you see your conditioning. And conditioning serves the heart. So, the mind needs to serve the heart. That's part of the shift. So whatever gifts John and Cora Lee, you know, had acquired through birth, through karma, they bring forth in this beautiful way when they facilitate the sacred chambers. For myself, whatever gifts came through enjoying writing, you know, serves others. And for each person, we all have our unique gifts, talents, conditioning, and the shift into this new transformation, this new world, is that we will be able to recognize that we each bring our human existence to a greater oneness, a beautiful oneness where the heart is at the center of life rather than run by the mind. I think we just, honestly, in the U.S., you know, we just had a very landmark week here with the passage of the law of marriage equality for all people, including LGBT people. That's, to me, an absolute expression of the shift into awakening that's happening now. Because our president has said, you know, love rules. Basically, it doesn't matter who you are, what your orientation, your race, your religion. There's something beyond all that. And that's, to me, when I heard this, I thought, wow, awakening is hitting in a big way now here in the U.S.
And John, you talk about that at the Sacred Chambers. And this is another thing about following one path. You want to be, you don't want to dilute a certain path. I'm beginning to realize that what is happening here, we've heard about the rocks of ignorance breaking up. We've heard about the dawn of the age of enlightenment. Well, guess what? It's happening. We heard about December 21st, 2012. Yes, you're right. The Mayan calendar ended and a lot of people celebrated the change here. That was a change from perhaps Kali Yuga to Sat Yuga. There's many different terms for it, but what I'm realizing, this is so much bigger than any of us. You can't get your mind involved and do anything that's good. You got to go to the heart where the divine comes through and just hang on for dear life. Paula, you've talked about in your book, if I took the time to look at the details of my life, I would just freak out. You stay in the present moment and just go. That resonates with what John and Cora Lee and you all are talking about, being so busy.
Can I just make a plug here for Paula? I don't even know if you know that we've got Patricia Keel coming to our community in mid-July. Patricia Keel is a oneness meditator, mm-hmm. which means that she mm-hmm. is able to transmit the divine grace, the blessing, through her eyes. So on July 18th and 19th, she'll be doing the oneness meditations at Phoenix Rising Hall at 7:30 in the evening. And then during the daytime, she's going to be hosting three different workshops. And by the way, Patricia Keel is a Unity minister from the Bay Area. She's Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel. She's a lovely woman, and she's going to be doing 3 workshops on Saturday and Sunday as well. All day Saturday is called the Relationship Blueprint Workshop, which involves a parent process, because you want to explain about the parent process?
The parent process is one that involves allowing one to release and perhaps be aware of the impressions that occur in very early life, from the moment of conception through the pregnancy, through their birth, and during the first 6 hours. Those very, very early times that leave deep impressions in a person's consciousness, and oftentimes are the seeds for a lot of limitations that occur in life, health issues, and so forth.
Right. That's actually that's the 4 baskets, right, and the parent process that she'll be doing on Saturday. And then on Sunday, she'll be doing a short workshop in the morning called Listening with the Heart, and then a lunch break. And then in the afternoon, she's going to be doing a workshop called 3 Keys to Wealth from 1:30 to 5, which will help people to remove any kind of blocks that they have for their prosperity and so forth. So if anyone is interested in experiencing any of these events with Patricia, you would go to patriciakeelfairfield.eventbrite.com, and you can get all the details, the cost, which is extremely nominal, and the times and how to sign up and all of that.
And again, the contact is?
Patricia Keel, which is Patricia, and then Keel is spelled K-E-E-L, fairfield.eventbrite.com.
And Paula, you write so well in your book about life is relationships. This is what they're talking about here in clearing up, or maybe liberating ourselves from our ancestors. And you wrote, and by the way, as I read this, Paula, pick out what you'd like to read, okay? Have you got that picked out? Do you want to read something? Because I have a little sentence here about relationships that I wanted to read that you wrote. For most of my life, I was quite unaware of the huge ancestral lineage carried in every cell of my being. Certainly, I'd been informed about genetic tendencies for hair and skin color, physical build, temperament, and certain diseases. But the profundity of my ancestors' influence on my happiness never sank in until I started working as an energy healer. Handed down from generation to generation in our genes and our energy field are the records of countless lives filled with trauma, pain, and joy. Have you considered that beliefs about money, success, health, work, and love are passed down, or that unfinished family business between family members and generations is passed down? I think that's very powerful stuff, Paula.
Yeah, it's in our conditioning, it's in our cellular structure, it's in our karma. We are. Our ancestors are living as us, in a sense. So the oneness things and trainings provide some really powerful processes to clear ancestral karma, to help not only yourself shift, but all your ancestors and future generations. By the way, I just wanted to mention, too, that Patricia was interviewed in the book. So if people are curious about reading more about her experiences, you'll find them in the book, too. She's a beautiful person.
Oh, she is. I'm excited to meet her live.
I was going to interject here. I haven't had my chance to join Coralie and Bruce in sharing some more accolades about the book. Patricia, Paul, I found myself just enamored with the book. It was probably, I read it in one sitting. It may be one of the easiest spiritual book I've ever read. It's written really for everyone. The your sharing of all the experience of people made it very human, and connected me to these people, many of whom I already knew, but in a different way. In this community, I think my perception is that a number of people, after all these years of meditating, are questioning the validity of what they're doing and how it is for them, the quality of their life as their life turns toward its last third of time. And I just think it's a tremendous blessing. I think anyone who's even remotely interested in adding to all the years that they've spent in along the spiritual pursuit would benefit greatly from the opportunity to read and become inspired and informed about the oneless blessing. So I just kind of want to say that. In fact, that's the principal reason why I'm here, because I felt that you've done such an extraordinary job, inspired or not, that the entire community really would benefit from it. And I just, again, I want to add my thank you to Bruce and Coralie.
That's John Day here with Coralie Day. I'm Bruce Miller, and we are sitting in for Monica Hadley and her dear mom, Caroline Kilborn, on Writer's Voices. And we're enjoying this interview with Paula Rosenfeld on her brand new book that John's raving about, The Oneness Blessing, How Diksha Can Help You Become Your Authentic Self, Heal Your Relationships, and Transform the World. And you mentioned Patricia Keel. She talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness, people, we know how important that is and how Diksha helps you do that. Patricia wrote, "It's a beautiful part of what we've been invited into with this phenomenon we call oneness. It's taking the teaching and holding it inside and allowing the grace of light or your higher power or whatever it is you call it to soften you into that space of feeling someone else." Now talk about that, Paulo. The whole idea about we get, especially in sacred chambers, in the first chamber, you get to contemplate how we've hurt the other, not through our mind, but just through feeling it. And this is all so easy to believe when we work from that platform that there's only one of us here. There's only one life. So the ability to feel others' pain, the ability for anything. Why is anything available? Because there's just one thing here, and it's creating everything. There's nothing's impossible. So it's wonderful what Patricia Keel wrote about, feeling others' pain. You want to talk about that, Paula?
Yeah. I mean, as you say, we are all one. But what the mind does in each of us is project the things we don't accept about ourselves onto other people, rather than permitting us to feel the depth of our feelings fully, whether it's sadness or joy. So basically, for me, I certainly was well versed in concepts of forgiveness. I totally wanted to forgive my parents, for instance. My parents are great people, but like most children, we start projecting our stuff on our parents. And true maturity, spiritual maturity, is being able to go beyond that blaming to feel their humanity, who they are, as aspects of the one. And so in the book, I shared a beautiful experience I had in the sacred chambers where my divine, my personal divine, allowed me to experience my mother's consciousness for a brief time. My mother is an agnostic. We had always been at two ends of the spectrum, really, in terms of spiritual beliefs. And it wasn't that she's not, I mean, she actually was practicing Judaism, but there was a lot of wounding in my Jewish ancestry. A lot of it from my mother and her generation because of the Holocaust, and of course I incorporated that. So here I am, you know, a young child developing a sense of identity, because that's what we do. That's what the mind does. You know, it's serving from the time you're a baby onwards to protect your separateness, to help you survive. That's why we've come to this over-dominance of the mind. But in the sacred chambers, I actually had a temporary experience of walking in my mother's shoes, of being in the chambers without a sense of sacredness. And I understood then. I understood a lot of things. So could I have come to that in any true experiential way at the rate I was going. I don't know. I can't say, but I wasn't even getting near it. And that was after decades of trying, as I said. But in one visit to the sacred chambers, my mother and I had a huge shift in our relationship because I stopped judging her. I saw my part. I stopped projecting my pain onto her. And honestly, it's just been a beautiful change. And that's also what many of us know on a spiritual path, that the outer circumstances of life reflect our inner consciousness. And the outer circumstances now of the relationship my mother and I share is so different after that experience. You know, it opened us to tremendous love. And in fact, she's enjoying the book, has now been to Diksha Circle and, you know, I think really undergone a shift herself, to be honest.
And that's one of the wonderful things, Paula, is our family and friends are affected by our own change. And again, we're talking to Paula Rosenfeld about her new book, The Oneness Blessing. Paula, is there a section of the book you'd like to read?
Sure. I could read on one of the big blockage areas in my life, which is abundance and prosperity. So I'm going to read from Chapter 6, Abundance and Prosperity. And I'll just start with a quote from Sri Bhagavan, who up until, I don't know when it was, maybe about a year ago, he was, Oneness University was printing on their website teachings every week. So there was a weekly teaching from Bhagwan, and the one that I'm going to quote is from October 9th through 15th, 2011. And he said, Bhagwan said, "The awakened one has no problem with wealth, for wealth is not the problem. The unawakened one has a problem with wealth, for the sense of possession is the problem." So it's a little longer than I could read right now, this particular chapter. But basically, in the beginning of the chapter, I talk about how money was such an issue for me, how I was obsessed with money and studied many strategies to try and make more of it, meditated, panicked, did all this stuff. But the fear of not having enough of it was very big for me. And I'm not alone. So then I wrote, "When the oneness phenomenon entered my life, I was feeling a lot of scarcity and depression regarding the money. I'd been working as a realtor to supplement my healing practice, which was part-time at that point, and the housing market in the United States had been spiraling downward. Every time I did a market analysis for someone's home and then had to report how the value had plunged, I felt the way an oncologist might feel when conveying a cancer diagnosis. Selling real estate became a nightmare of lack and limitation. None of my listings were selling, the sellers were hostile, the buyers vanished, and I was anxious and paralyzed. The joy I had felt earlier in my career by helping people with such a significant part of their lives was gone. I discovered that fear of losing money brings out the worst in everyone, including myself. After some time, I sold my townhouse that I could no longer afford, rented a less expensive apartment in a new neighborhood, and hung up my real estate license." So then a few paragraphs later, I wrote that in the center of all the anxiety-provoking uncertainty and change, Diksha and Oneness courses supported me in undergoing a lot of inner shifts that gradually began ushering tremendous joy into my life. As I started to awaken to a new, closer relationship with my inner divine, a different sense of security was emerging from the wreckage. Faith in a greater plan kept me going, for there was much evidence of a sacred hand bringing many new people and events to me, all of which brought a huge amount of inner abundance and gratitude into my life. Even though money was not yet showing up, a brand new and quite magical experience of true prosperity began to take root. Advanced Oneness Trainer and Oneness Meditator Catherine Scherwenka describes this shift so well. And I quote here from Catherine. In the past, when I heard the words abundance and prosperity, it was so conditioned to be about money. But now it's so much bigger than that. It has been really expanded. It's a paradigm shift from material wealth to inner wealth, where your inner world is prosperous and abundant. Oneness has given so much abundance and prosperity to us on many levels. Our relationships get healed and they become abundant. Our internal world gets more and more clear and becomes abundant with divine grace. Your life just feels more prosperous on a day-to-day basis the more divine grace is running your life. That's been my experience. The teaching that says your external world is a reflection of your inner world. When our lives are filled with so much grace, it's abundant in all aspects.
That's beautiful, Paula. We are at the end of the hour. This is Paula Rosenfeld talking about her book, The Oneness Blessing. Paula, how can people get your book? Give us some contact information you'd like to give out real quick.
Yeah, it's readily available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You could also go to my website, which is www.fromtheheartcenter.com. fromtheheartcenter.com, all one word. And I have a link to a place, you know, to these sites where you can purchase and also just learn more about the Oneness Blessing.
Which we heartily recommend. I started getting jazzed at page 18. I wish I had more time. Locally, John and Coralie Day have Sacred Chambers. Patricia Keel's coming in real quick again.
Patricia Keel's coming July 18th, 19th. And if anyone has any questions for we have Oneness Weekly Diksha Circles in Fairfield, Iowa City, and Des Moines. And you can contact us at OnenessIowa2012@gmail.com. Or there's a Facebook page, Oneness Fairfield. And just one second thing for Sacred Chambers is simply a process that has nothing to do with an individual. It's a direct communion each person has with their own divine. And people have experienced different healings, psychological, emotional, physical, and spiritual shifts.
And Eric Eisen, many folks will recognize that name. He says in your book, Paula, that the Sacred Chambers, he believes, is the greatest blessing on earth right now. So that's pretty far out. Paula, thank you very much for being part of this. You'll be able to hear this online at KRUUFM.com and at RidersVoices.com, and I'm sure at Paula's website sometime in the future. Again, that's From the Heart Center, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much, Paula. Thank you, John and Coralie Day.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks, John and Coralie.